Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nabs Effect Podcast. I'm your host, Naveen Ganglani. I am excited for this episode. It's going to be a little unique. I have a pretty interesting guest. If you guys have been following UAAP podcasts over the last few months, it's going to be fun. I'm going to report some of the stuff that I've heard behind the scenes during the offseason of the UAAP so far, including maybe some player movement, maybe coaches, maybe transfers. So a lot of interesting stuff. I'm excited to get to it, but first, I will bring you a quick word from our sponsor, Fitspire.
Are you ready to transform your home into a premium fitness haven? Look no further than Fitspire, your go-to destination for top-notch home gym equipment designed to take your fitness to unprecedented heights. Immerse yourself in a world of possibilities with their versatile range of premium gear, including yoga equipment for serene workouts, adjustable dumbbells and kettlebells for customized strength training, roller wheels and push-up bars to sculpt those abs and arms, jump ropes, foam rollers, and stability balls for an all-rounded workout experience, stylish and efficient cooling towels to keep you refreshed, and sport water bottles for staying hydrated in style. Fitspire's equipment is not only durable but also space-saving, allowing you to create your dream workout space without sacrificing aesthetics or functionality. Whether you're a fitness novice or a seasoned pro, their collection caters to all levels. And here's the real game changer. As a special treat for our podcast listeners, we're offering an exclusive 10% off on your purchase. Simply use the code word NABSEFFECT10 upon checkout at www.sunbeamslifestyle.com. It's our way of saying thank you for choosing Fitspire. But that's not all. For an even more seamless experience, download the Sunbeams Lifestyle app, available on both iOS and Android platforms. Browse their collection, stay updated on fitness trends, and exclusive deals. Transform your fitness routine from ordinary to extraordinary with Fitspire. Don't just dream about your fitness goals, achieve them in the comfort of your own home. Visit www.sunbeamslifestyle.com, use code NABSEFFECT10, and let Fitspire be your fitness companion on this incredible journey.
Okay, we're back now on the episode. I am joined by Maui of the Boleros podcast. So if you guys have been looking for UAAP podcasts over the last few months, I am certain that you've come across their episodes on YouTube and Spotify. They are quickly rising as one of the popular podcasts of the UAAP basketball scene. I've only really gotten to talk to Maui from the three of them, but I'm sure the other two are great people behind the scenes as well. If any of you have met them in person, let everyone know in the comments how they are. But they seem like cool guys, basketball fans. Maui, thanks for joining me, bro. I know this was super short notice, but
yeah.
I'm a fan of the podcast that you guys come out with, and I'm really happy and thankful that you were willing to join me here today.
Thanks for the invite, and also thanks for talking about our podcast, our UAAP podcast. I'm happy to be here. I really follow you a lot. We all know that Navs is the one that usually brings out yung breaking news of college basketball here in the Philippines, both the UAAP and the NCAA. And it's a privilege to be part of his podcast today.
I appreciate the kind words, Maui. Really respect for that. And also the respect goes back to you guys. Like, you know, whenever the games end on the weekend or pag final four finals, alam ko na eh, like, even if I just finished my recording, alam ko na the moment I open YouTube, oh, yung Boleros, they have a new episode na. 1,000%. Ang bilis niyo, but I think that's part of the reason why you guys have built like a really strong fan base, a following, a community, is because your followers, your listeners know that the moment that the games end, you know, they still want to feel the action, right? They still want to, especially if it's a Sunday night, for example, or a weekend, they still want to feel like, you know, they're still there at the games, even if the games have ended. And you guys, the three of you, really provide that to them. So keep up the good work. So today,
thank you.
I feel there are a few topics we're discussing. Let's start with the news that exploded on Thursday, which was kind of expected given the first explosion of a news about this topic. But Jared Bahai has officially committed to the Ateneo Blue Eagles. So It was something, like I said, that was expected, especially once the apparent divorce between UP and Jared Bahay took place. Whispers of Bahay's commitment with UP, maybe not continuing, really happened or really started, at least from my perspective, garnering a lot of traction and action towards the tail end of UAAP season 86. So first it was whispers, right? And then after the season ended towards the Christmas break, that's when you started really adding up. And I know that particularly because I was actually in the US for a vacation with my family, and I was getting messages, people asking, oh, what's the latest with Bai? Hearing this, hearing that. So I talked to some of my sources, and then the writing was really on the wall. Then eventually UP decided to make the move first, right? They knew that Bahay's announcement was going to come about him going to Ateneo. So UP decided, okay, we are going to come out with a statement, an announcement that we are no longer going to pursue Jared Bahay. UP has, safe to say, moved on to other ways to bolster their talent pool for future seasons. We'll talk about that later. But first, Bahay goes to Ateneo, and at first glance, it feels like a fit that you understood why he would make, given his statement. He said that he wanted the chance to play right away. Ateneo lost Jared Brown, their starting guard from UAAP season 86. Jared Brown has decided to pursue a pro career, which leaves the point guard depth chart at Gab Gomez as the veteran point guard. He's coming back from an injury hit season 86. Ian Espinosa, who was hit or miss, mostly missed during UAAP season 86 as well. And LeBron Nieto, who has shown glimpses as a shooter, but perhaps not quite there yet as a playmaker, as a lead point guard. Meanwhile, Jared Bahay, of course, just led he Ateneo Cebu to a championship in CESAFI for a second straight season, coming back from a 0-1 finals deficit. And he has been a lead guard. He can be both a playmaker and a scorer. He was fantastic in NBTC last year. He probably will be fantastic again this season if he will play. Which, by the way, for those of you trying to keep track, NBTC, the semis, the finals, that part begins March 18 at the Mall of Asia Arena. And there will be a lot of recruits from both the Philippines and the United States abroad coming. It's going to be a major recruit showcase. I'm so excited for that. But back to Bahay. It seems fitting that he will probably be the starting point guard for Ateneo, an Ateneo team that is loaded, an Ateneo, well, not maybe not necessarily loaded, but I would say promising given the roster, an Ateneo team that should be better than they were in UAAP season 86, in my opinion, and Jared Bahay is a big part of that.
I have to agree with most of your statements. I was very happy to find out when Bahay got to commit to Ateneo, recommit in some people's terms. But he said it perfectly. He was looking for a perfect spot. He was looking for a place where he would play a ton of minutes. And definitely, with Jared Brown's departure from Ateneo, the point guard slot is wide open. I think that's been proven from how Ateneo performed during season 86. Espinosa, as you mentioned, was mostly a miss, and Gab Gomez was hampered by a lot of injuries. And actually, when he got some playing time, did not also contribute that much. I think that Bahay has really gone to a better opportunity when it comes to Ateneo. I think it really boils down to UP having that very deep backcourt rotation. Felicilda is coming back. Even Chikagulangan is rumored to come back, and it looks like he will come back with what happened to Jared Bahay. I think if you look back during the previous offseason, before season 86, Jared Bahay was very excited because he thought that he was going to get a clear role with UP. But with the recent developments in the UAAP, especially with UP, I really think that Ateneo is the perfect spot with Bahay, not just because he's getting playing time, but because he's also going to play with some of his former teammates also from the under 18 and also from Ateneo de Cebu. I think that would really give him that much needed confidence to start and make an instant impact with Ateneo, which no doubt he will have. I think he has a proven resume playing against older men when he played started that point guard for the under 18 national team, playing alongside sila Mason Amos. And definitely he's the number one recruit, number one high school player. I think that's been proven the past two seasons, given his performance both in the national level and in the international level. So as a Latinian, definitely I am very excited for Jared Bahay to arrive in Ateneo. I think the whole Ateneo community is definitely excited. The big hole in the point guard slot was, it really started with the Padrigao thing during the previous offseason. Yep. Fortunately for Ateneo, Jared Brown still performed, in my opinion, above expectations, which is why they still made it to the Final Four. But with the addition of Bahay and with the combination of Bahay and Amos for this coming season, everyone has to be excited. This is a proven tandem. Mason Amos played his best with Jared Bahay, being one of the top players during the FIBA Asia Under 18. And I wouldn't be surprised if this duo really hit it off during the following season. I'm excited to see them.
Yeah, now just a quick note there. You mentioned JD Kagulangan probably coming back for season 87. So based from what I've heard, at least from the people I've spoken to, there are those at UP who are confident he's coming back for certain for season 87. Some of them did say, okay, but before we know that 100%, let's wait for JD to come back from Dubai from his current stint with Strong Group and then make the decision. But at least right now, I would say maybe 90 to 95%, they're pretty confident he's coming back. When I ran into JD during one of the practices of SGA, I asked him straight up, so JD, babalik ka ba for season 87? And he didn't say yes or no directly. He gave a pretty wise answer, and he was like, may isang year pa ako, bakit naman hindi? Which kind of leans towards him saying yes, he's coming back, but also it doesn't necessarily mean he's coming back for sure. But again, if I were to guess, I think he's coming back. Now, the Bahay aspect of it, I was looking at it from a basketball standpoint, kind of like you did, Nomawi. Okay, pros and cons. What if he goes to both teams, right? So he goes to UP, he won't get the lead point guard spot, you know, at least from a playing time perspective right away, because he'd probably split it with Maymay, and then he'd probably split some time there as long as Felicilda. And then you have to also take into account all the shooting guards that UP has with Abadiano, with Fortea coming back. Cyril Gonzalez, I'm not sure if he's going to play season 87. I heard there might be a chance he sits out to rest his injuries, maybe preserve his playing years, and then come back the following year, maybe as a veteran player. So we'll see how that goes. And of course, UP is also looking to bring in some other recruits. Now, the positive there for me, if Bahay had gone to UP, would be it not all the pressure would have been on him right away to carry the team, right? He
agree.
Exactly. Because as talented as he is, and he is, you know, very talented, he's the number one NBTC player for a reason, there will be times, and all UAAP rookies go through this, unless you're a phenom like a Kiefer Ravenna or a Jaron Teng. There is a time when you rookies will hit a bit of a wall or have their struggles. So going to UP would have given him that cushion, that safety net of, okay, at least they still have Kagulangan, they still have Felicilda. Now, on the other side of it, going to Ateneo, he gets the reps right away. Diba? Off-season pa lang, Phil Oil, Pinoy Liga, out-of-the-country trips, tune-up games. He's the lead point guard. He's the lead playmaker. So they will allow him to make mistakes early because they need him to be the lead playmaker for season 87. At the same time, too, you still have other guards who can come in for him. Like we said, Gap Gomez and Espinosa. Even if I think Bahay right now is the best point guard that Ateneo has. And they're going to live and learn with some of the mistakes and the successes Bahay is going to have, especially early on. The pro for Ateneo and Bahay in this regard is by letting him take control of the reins early on, maybe by the second round, sanay na siya. Because college basketball is still different from high school basketball. But maybe by the second round, the final four, when you know things get really intense and it's winning time, at that point, Bahay will probably be a little more confident running things. Now, just speculating Ateneo's lineup for season 87, you have Jared Bahay, you have Mason Amos, you have Chris Kuhn, Espinosa, Gomez, They have the foreign student athlete coming in from CEU. By the way, underrated storyline. They were going to have God's Love as their FSA moving forward, but God's Love is now in the USA and apparently receiving offers from Division I NCAA schools. So
yeah, that's good for him.
Good for him, great for him. Imagine if he actually kept playing in Ateneo, the sky would have been the limit. That one challenge is, again, implementing a new FSA. We saw that Obasa got better in Season 86 in the later part of the season. But early on, there were some growing pains there. So I imagine it's going to be somewhat similar for their new FSA. Can't remember his name right now. I should
Balogun.
There you go. Thank you.
Balogun.
Thank you. And if I had to guess right now, I would say that Sean Kitevis is probably coming back. Then now it becomes a matter of, okay, can the bench stand up? Can the bench step up, rather? Can Kyle Gamber give you something this season? Can Mason take that leap, you know, earn more playing time in Coach Tab's system and maybe give you like 13 points, 8 rebounds a game in that regard? Because of maybe the lack of offensive firepower from a depth standpoint right now, that might be what's separating Ateneo. At least, you know, two early predictions. That might be what separates them right now from UP and LaSalle, who not necessarily in that order. I think LaSalle and UP come in as the two favorites for season
favorites.
87. Exactly. Yeah. But if Bahai's offensive talents that he portrayed in high school, the pull-up game, the penetration, the kickouts, setting up teammates, if that translates to college basketball right away, then perhaps by the end of season 87's elimination round, Ateneo, at least from an offensive standpoint, is ready to contend against powerhouse teams.
When it comes to cleaning a home or office, most people just know the basics. Mopping the floor, wiping off dust and dirt is pretty standard. While all that can make a place look clean, it doesn't mean it is clean. Making a place truly clean and virus-free requires a professional help. That's where the Cleaning Coach comes in. The Cleaning Coach provides outstanding general cleaning, commercial cleaning, post-construction cleanup, upholstery cleaning, floor, carpet cleaning, aircon cleaning, and disinfection at a very reasonable price. The Cleaning Coach and his team will do all the scrubbing, dusting, polishing, disinfecting, and sanitizing, so you won't have to. Making your place look clean that you can also smell and feel, you will experience the difference. Now that's stress-free cleaning to a better normal, done professionally by the Cleaning Coach. Contact the Cleaning Coach today to learn more.
Yeah, I would say definitely yung value that Jared Bahai could potentially bring to Ateneo is a lot. I think yung struggles ng Ateneo, especially on the playmaking side during season 86, was very adamant. It was really shown, especially during those minutes that Espinosa struggled a ton and some of the games that Jared Brown didn't find his shot. But I guess, like any Atenean, we always say in tab we trust, di ba? It all boils down if Ateneo can peak on the right time. Season 86 was an example of a very inconsistent season for Ateneo. Very different to previous Ateneo teams. I think it was evident during third quarters that Ateneo was really struggling. If you've been watching Ateneo from seasons past when Coach Tab got the team, Ateneo was historically a very, very good third quarter team, but come season 86, they struggled, mostly struggling on that quarter. So I don't know, maybe if Jared Bahai is as good as advertised, then maybe Ateneo can be a different team. I think that Amos will definitely take that leap on the offensive end. I don't think we can question a guy like Amos because he was one of the most efficient players on the offensive end during season 86. The biggest question surrounding Amos is probably on the defensive end right now.
Mm-hmm.
And with the undersized point guard coming like Jared Bahai, you have to ask, will Ateneo still be a good defensive team? Because historically, Ateneo has been one. But during season 86, it was mostly on the defensive end that they relied on to win games. And unfortunately, they weren't able to bring it also on the other set, end of the floor. I think it's very critical to look at Bahai and Amos and see if they can handle the pressure. Amos was backing up Ateneo's, arguably Ateneo's top player last year, Balungay. But now, he will be given the free rein to make mistakes and to really
to grow as a player. Yes,
grow as a player. I think they were even rumbling rumors during the offseason if Amos was going to stay sa Ateneo.
There were.
And I think, there were. And I think this solidified it. Him staying in Ateneo, getting all the usage, getting the minutes. Now the question is, how will he respond? It's not only on Jared Bahay to elevate Ateneo for season 87, but definitely it will rest on these two guys, Amos and Bahay. Because I don't think Ateneo can really rely on Sean to score a ton of points. You mentioned the potential adjustment by the FSA, which should happen also similar to how it happened with Obasa the whole first round. We'll see how it develops also for the other players of Ateneo, especially those players who are Phil foreigners. Because Coach Tab mentioned also during the season that he expects them to fully understand how it is to play in the Philippines. So maybe we see a few players like Gamber or Bongo or even si Shantuano take a step forward. Or even si, I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron Nieto fully converted to a shooter and a shooting guard. Because historically, Ateneo has had that knockdown shooter. But they didn't have that one also in season 86. So really a lot of things to develop for Ateneo. I think very long off-season. But generally speaking, I think it's Bahay and Amos team come season 87.
Now also to add to that, for them to really compete, and I mean compete, like potentially win a championship, first of all, and I don't want people to take this as think of this as me taking a shot at Coach Tab. It is not. I have the utmost respect for Coach Tab Baldwin as a basketball mastermind. But if last season proved anything, it's that even the best coaches need quality players to win games. Right?
I agree.
It's not just like, you know, he's not going to be Dumbledore and he's not just going to wave his wand and everything is going to like lead to victories.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I know he's like a magician. He's really smart. But even the best coaches need quality players. Like, and this happens to all coaches, by the way. Like, Alden Ayo, his first year in UST, hindi sila nag-Final Four. Franz Pumarin missed the Final Four with LaSalle when he lost his top recruits. Even Derek Pumarin, who won championships with DLSU before, he didn't make the Final Four in his second season with LaSalle. So those are just some examples. Now, I have to give credit to a friend of mine, Jason Innocencio, who is a diehard Ateneo fan. He pointed this out in our community chat the other night, the Nabs Effect community chat. He was like, if you look at it properly, Coach Tab's teams in Ateneo, they have always been successful in part because they have a solid point guard leading the way. So when Coach Tab first got there, of course, Matt Nieto was his point guard for a few years. And that's when Ateneo had their mini dynasty. And then after Matt Nieto left, he had SJ Belangel in season 84. They nearly went undefeated. They nearly won the championship. And then season 85, he had Fortsky Padraga, who was, you know, taller than your average Philippine college basketball point guard, solid on both ends of the floor. And then last season, he didn't really know who his starting point guard was till the tail end of the season. That's when he realized, okay, Jared Brown's my best option. Now, Jared Brown isn't like the other point guards I mentioned because he is a score-first type of point guard.
Yep.
His strength is scoring. And that's not a knock on Jared Brown because sometimes as basketball players, if you take away their strength, if you try to make them someone they're not completely, you take away their abilities, their best abilities. So in Brown's case, Coach Tab had to play a balancing act of, okay, I want him to set up his teammates, but at the same time, I don't want him to sacrifice too much of his scoring, which a lot of great coaches have to deal with when it comes to deciding how to best utilize their players. And I say all of that because now that he has a quality point guard in Jared Bahay, again, Jared Bahay is only a rookie, so you can expect there will be some growing pains along the way, especially against good defensive teams. And like you said, you know, he's 5'7", Bahay. I'm not sure if... you didn't mention the height, but you mentioned the size. Bahay is 5'7", so if I'm an opposing UAP coach, I'm probably sending like blitzes, double teams the moment he crosses half court to see if he can handle the pressure. You can be guaranteed teams like UP, LaSalle, maybe UST will do that also, diba? And you will do that with a good coach like Jeff Napa. So if Bahay can prove that he can handle all of that, then that gives Tab that point guard again to run his offense, to run his system. And that's going to be beneficial for Ateneo. And one more thing I should add, we mentioned a lot of names, diba? We mentioned Mason, we mentioned Sean is a defensive, you know, he'll contribute defensively, he'll pick his spots offensively if he comes back for season 87. Chris Kuhn, of course, we know what he can do. But who from the other guys can step up? And by the other guys, I mean the guys in the wings. Like, will we see a potential, you know, breakout season for guys like Asoro or Celis or Josh Lazaro? I'm not sure if Josh is coming back, but I think he should be coming back for another season. So can one of those guys step up and be that other wing player that Ateneo needs? Because they're set at guard. Big man, I think they need a backup big. The one, because those Gio Chu minutes last year were one of
very
the...
Very brutal.
It was tough. So that's another position if they need, they would probably have to fill. Let's move on to another Cebu player. Someone who isn't garnering a lot of traction right now, but he is a talented player from Cebu. And right now, he's garnering interest, no, like, you know, scholarship offers yet from schools like Adamson, San Beda, and National University. His name is RJ Dacalos, 6'5", can play center or forward. He's a little bit raw offensively, but he is solid defensively, especially at that height. He might even still grow an inch or two some more. He's got a pretty good body for a big man. Again, he's still raw, but people assume he's going to be a solid college player. So for those of you who want to know some info on possible players to watch out for, that's definitely one of them. Let's go to Ray Remugat. Maui. Okay, so just to report a little bit of what I heard. is UP in the mix for Remugat?
Attention, Ateneo enthusiasts. The thrill of UEAP Season 86 second semester sports is here, and Loyola Heights is buzzing with excitement. Now is the perfect moment to become a crucial part of the Ateneo six-man, cheering the varsity teams to victory. Don't just watch. Immerse yourself in the passion, the camaraderie, and the sheer amazement of the games. And what better way to manifest your unyielding support than by flaunting the latest gear from Get Blue? The brand new collection is a testament to the spirit of Ateneo, capturing the essence of victory and the pride that comes with being part of something extraordinary. Visit the link in our bio for an exclusive look at Get Blue's latest collection. Discover a range of high-quality apparel, from shirts to accessories, designed to elevate your game day experience. Show off your team colors and immerse yourself in the Blue Eagles' journey with pride. This season, it's not just about watching. It's about being seen as a true Blue Eagle supporter. Get Blue is your gateway to showcasing your loyalty, passion, and love for the game. Elevate your style and let the world know where your heart truly belongs. Get ready, get set, and get geared up with Get Blue.
I have not confirmed this, but based from the people I spoke to, if I had to make a smart estimation right now, I would say yes, UP is in the mix for Remugat. I know that there were preliminary conversations with LaSalle a few months ago, but that has changed now since LaSalle has Jacob Cortez and soon potentially will have Kian Baklaan as well. So with Remugat, what else is out there? What I have heard from someone I trust, a source I trust, is there is also an offer from the MPBL. There is also interest from a team abroad. An Asian
That's
team
interesting.
An Asian team abroad. And at least from someone I spoke to from University of the East, they still feel that sa puso ni Remugat, UE is still a place that he can call home. Now, will that be a place he does continue to call home? I don't know. Right now, it's looking like no. And I know a lot of people from UE have messaged me on Facebook and social media trying to get information. Hindi ako nagre-reply sa inyo right now. I'm sorry for that. But that's because I don't want to give an answer because nothing is really final yet, at least from what I'm hearing. But I know conversations are taking place with different teams. And here's one more thing I know, and I haven't confirmed this on the record with any school official. Okay, so take this with a grain of salt if you want. But what I have heard is if Remogat does leave University of the East and he goes to another UAAP school, then there will be people from UE who are unhappy enough that they might ask for a discussion with the board, the UAAP board. That's all I'm going to say for now. That's what I have heard. Not to say that it's going to happen for sure, because you know naman how some people are sometimes that, you know, while things are happening, emotions are running high, and they say, ah, hindi, ko-complain natin yan. But will I say that 100% they're not actually going to do anything? I can't say that because people in UE, at least those who I've spoken to and people who I trust from the university, have told me that they had conversations with Remogat. In fact, one of the first conversations was literally after Remogat received his Mythical Five award in game 2 of the UAAP finals. After that game,
getting right into it.
Exactly. After that game, an official from UE and Remogat kumain sila after to discuss the plans. And based from their conversation then, they felt that Remogat was committed to coming back. And then when they heard that maybe there was potentially LaSalle in the mix, they made efforts to keep Remogat. Now, how you guys want to perceive the term efforts, I'll leave that all up to you. I'm not going to go into specifics for that. But as of right now, they don't know now what he's going to do, at least those I've spoken to. And they're hearing that there are other options in the mix. And I guess right now, just like everyone else, they're in wait and see mode to see what Remogat does. So take that with a grain of salt. Again, everybody, those listening to this podcast, because, you know, to everyone who, you know, eventually tells me, ah, you said this before, this was sort of said before, all of this is flexible. Sobrang flexible to Maui.
Anything can happen.
Exactly. Like literally,
anything can happen right now.
Literally, this has happened in the past where a player one day says, I'm 100% sure I'm going to this team or I'm going to this school. And then literally like 2 hours later, they get a call, someone is interested and they're like, oh, okay, now I have to think. So everything is flexible. Anything can happen. Nothing is final. But at least that's what I'm hearing right now. So let's talk hypothetical, Maui. In a hypothetical situation, if Remogat does go to UP, sabihin natin, hypothetical, okay? He'd have to sit out one season, sit out 87, come in 88. You don't have Kagulangan anymore. You probably still have Felicilda. But then that point guard spot is open. How do you like that fit of Remogat as a Fighting Maroon?
I think we discussed this also on our podcast, Saboleros. Definitely a good fit for Remogat come season 88. When Kagulangan leaves, it's like Jared Bahay. If Kagulangan decided to leave, then Jared Bahay could have possibly really decided just to stay in UP. I think that Remogat get going to UP would be a good fit just because of the attention that he will also get. The question is, how many minutes will Remogat get for UP? We've seen this season how Coach Gold rotates the point guard slot niya, with Felicilda mostly getting more minutes in even the most crucial of games, like the finals versus LaSalle. If I were a person, if I were a guy like Remogat, I would just decide to really to play it out in UE, except if I have offers abroad, or even offers in another pro league. I think the best case scenario really for Remogat is to stay. Why? Just because he gets all the recognition now, he was able to get mythical team, and definitely because he gets all the usage. He has free reigns to do anything. He has free reigns to play make. He has free reigns to score. When he goes to a team like UP, that's something that's going to be questionable. Remogat will still have to adjust, especially since UP will have a ton of recruits. Some of the guys probably have yet to be announced, but there are a ton of recruits in UP, and that will not stop probably within the next decade or so. So when you play in a team like UP, then you expect that you will really have to fight for playing time. You will really have to compete with other players who are also marquee recruits. Still a good destination for Remogat. Playing for a team like UP, probably without a doubt the most popular team in the UAAP right now, and with some of the most passionate fans, maybe that's something that's enticing to him. Maybe that's something that he wants to do. A team like UE was been, to put it kindly, a cellar dweller team the past few seasons. Maybe he wants to get the love and wants to get a championship, a UAB championship. So I wouldn't be surprised if a player like Remogat really looks at UP as a potential destination. I think I've mentioned this also before. The bad thing about this is that he has to sit out a year. That residency year is a big thing for me. We all know that basketball players have a very short peak, and taking a year off when you're already peaking, I would see Remogat is already peaking at the right time and very right to go pro because he's a mythical member, number two in the MVP race. That could spell danger for his future. So, yeah, if you were to ask me, I really prefer that Remogat stayed out and probably played a year, another year in UE, get a mythical team, fight for the MVP, and potentially get offers abroad.
Right. Now, if Remogat stays in UE, he would be in line as one of the next great UE guards, you know, like Paul Lee, Roy Sumang to some degree. I'm curious if he goes to a contender. I don't think he'll have the same stats, but would he have the same impact in terms of leading a team, leading a championship caliber team? That is, you know, I've talked to UAP sources the last few days, and that was one of their questions. They were like, okay, if Remogat does go to UP, and many people believe he's going there. Again, nothing confirmed. I have asked UP on the record also, is Remogat going there? And they said, nope, nothing confirmed, nothing happening right now. If he does go to UP, will he be the lead point guard? Kind of like what Evanelli was for LaSalle.
Yeah.
Or even to some degree what Padraga was for Ateneo in season 85. Diba? Because the one challenge for Remogat is he's not as tall as some of these other point guards. Diba? And like Nelly is, you know, for a point guard, good size. Same with Padrigao. And to some degree, this will be the challenge that Bahay has also. You look at Jacob Cortez, he's not the tallest guy, pero ang lapad ng shoulders niya, diba? And Jacob is a smart basketball player. He can see the defense before it comes. Si Kian Baklaan naman, again, not the tallest guy also. But Kian, he can jump high and athletic siya yung katawan niya, so he can get away from traps. That's the question some have from a basketball perspective for Remogat. Okay, what if you blitz him? What if you double team him in the half court? Will he turn the ball over? Diba? Can he like navigate double teams and all those screens? So we'll find out if it does happen. Because again, like I said, according to people I've spoken to, there are other options on the table, like the MPBL or maybe if something materializes abroad, who knows? So I guess we'll find out. In terms of UP seeking other recruits, now, granted, I'm not sure if many people know this, but there was a recent trip to the United States for some of the UP decision makers like Coach Bo, or Director Bo rather, Coach Gold. The assistant coaches were there also, like Coach Tom, who was already there for a family vacation. I actually ran into him in San Francisco. And also Coach Christian Luanzon was there. And so they visited and scouted some Phil foreign players, including Jacob Baila, who has been in the newswires over the last few years, a Batang Gilas member, including Jaden Harper, who apparently is now 6'9" and continues to only grow, according to his coaches in the United States. They anticipate there's a chance he might be like 6'10". They called him the Phil Amchet Holmgren. That's what they called him. So we'll see how he develops. They, of course, successfully recruited Miguel Iniguez already. And I believe there are at least maybe two more recruits that UP is looking at whose names I don't know yet. But two names worth monitoring. We'll see in the future. If they land Baila and Harper, by the way, Baila, from what I heard, was also someone LaSalle is interested in. I think Baila particularly is the cream of the crop in terms of the Phil foreign recruits coming in for season 87. He is about 6'5". He moves like a two guard. He was coached by the former high school coach of DeMar DeRozan. He can shoot threes. He can shoot mid-range. He can create his own shot. He can be a secondary point guard. He can rebound. He's strong. He's athletic. He is a very good player. Think of him as Xavier Lucero with maybe even better handles. what Xavier was coming into the UAP. That's what, because Xavier, when he came to the UAP, he was a 2-and-through prospect. So
yeah,
a little developed not playing college basketball. But Bylaw's coaches feel that he can be that type of player, a Xavier type of player that ends up becoming a game changer in college basketball. Have you seen highlights of Bylaw, Maui? What do you think of him?
Yeah, I've seen highlights of Bylaw. He's a do-it-all forward. I'm not surprised that a lot of teams are trying to get him. He'll definitely have an instant impact similar to Zabe Lucero. But this guy could really raise the level of recruitment to another level even. I think the hype is really real. But I would be happy if he got some Division I offers. I wouldn't be surprised if a few UAAP teams get him. But we'll see in the future what it holds. We'll wait for your announcement, definitely.
Thank you for that. Just a quick note on Bylaw. He has interest from some Ivy League schools, like Cornell is one of them. I made a post about this a few months ago. It's worth noting with Ivy League schools, though, they don't give only athletic scholarships, from what was explained to me. Their scholarships are, yes, if you're an athlete, sure, but you also have to be an academic scholarship. At least that's how an academic scholar. That's how I understand it. So that's something to also consider, because I think right now there are no D1 offers yet. Now, Bylaw is still playing his senior season in the United States, in California. So who knows? Something might come up. And if that does come up, and if he plays D1, of course, that would be incredible, because he isn't actually technically a Phil foreigner. He was born to both Filipino parents. He just so happened to grow up in the United States. So who knows? Are we maybe on the path of seeing a player who could potentially be the first ever Filipino basketball player in the NBA, born to Filipino parents? Why not dream big, right? If the potential is there. But at the same time, too, if he does decide to come to the Philippines and play college ball here, then why the heck not? He would be a household name. He got his Philippine passport before 16 years old. He would be
Gilas
mainstay, exactly. And as early as now, Gilas should be trying to like get this guy to join practices, because the potential is really there. The sky is the limit for this kid. Like, when this kid comes to the Philippines, we shouldn't just be thinking about, okay, what college is he playing for? Is he going to win a UAP championship? We should be thinking, how far can he possibly take the national team? Because the answer to that, at least from a potential standpoint, is pretty damn far. Another name I want to mention, Maui. I'm not sure if you guys in Boleros have talked about the USD Growling Tigers a lot, but I feel like you will in season 87. And that's because, in part, I got to watch them in Pinoy Liga the other day against CSB. They lost that game. It's a game they shouldn't have lost, if we're being honest, because they had an FSA. They had two FSAs playing. CSB had none.
Getting insurance now.
Oh, nga eh. And then the night before that game, the CSB Blazers got back to Manila at 1 a.m. ata, because they had the PSL game out of town. So, medyo puyat pa sila. And UST actually had that game won in the fourth quarter. They were up like 5, few minutes left, and then they kind of collapsed there at the end. Fortsky is going to fit in with this team. I think you're going to see crazy. Like, if there was a UAAP Fantasy League, Fortsky would probably be a first-round pick when he plays for UST. They didn't have Paranada in that game. They didn't have Chase Lane, nor did they have Jeremy Robinson. So those guys are expected to be key contributors in season 87. The same can be said for Ashton Andrews, who looked good in the Pinoy Liga game against CSB. They will have to pick an FSA between Peter Osang, who is more of a perimeter-oriented FSA. He's about 6'7", so he's not as tall as the other guys. He's quicker. Or Tongkara, who is bigger, more of a back-to-the-basket guy, like bruising presence. So that's going to be an interesting subplot to follow if you're a UST fan. They also have a standout named Estacio, who is a big guard, can handle the ball well for a big guy. I also like Ice Dunting. I think Ice Dunting is going to surprise a lot of people this season. And here's some news. UST is interested in recruiting one Zane Mahmood, who also played for the Batang Gilas team along with Bahay and Baila and company. Zane is 6'7". He's currently playing his senior season in the United States. He's averaging about 15.6 rebounds a game as the team captain. He is a traditional kind of big, scores in the paint, doesn't exactly have a knockdown three-pointer yet, but he's trying to develop it. He's big, he can rebound, he can bang bodies underneath. And ideally, I think for UST, if they're able to secure the commitment of Zane Mahmood and play him with Peter Osang, their FSA, then they would have a pretty formidable front line to go along with the other pieces of the team I mentioned, plus the players from Season 86 like Cabanero and Manay Tai and Calum and maybe some of the, and maybe SJ Moore if he develops. So it's a very exciting time, I would say, to be a UST fan because I think UST can crash the Final Four in Season 87.
Yeah, I think we were all very excited even before Season 86 started. We sort of overrated UST because of all the recruiting news. Maybe in Season 87, when all of this materializes, then maybe they can start to really get to the Final Four. I think I've been very, very consistent in saying that the UAAP needs UST to be a top team because they have one of the best fan base in the UAAP, one of the best cheers, I would say. This is a welcome sight. I guess the question really is if they can really make that mark come Season 87. Will they be Final Four contenders or will they continue to be cellar dwellers? But I'm just happy that Nick Cabanero is finally getting some help. I'm happy that he can potentially try to buy for the Final Four come Season 87. But I'm also worried to the point that I want to be skeptical because of how we overrated UST on our podcast also during the Season 86 preview for Season 86. But hopefully it does materialize. At least now they have two foreign student athletes. I think that was a very big blow for them losing that their FSA early on in the season. Hopefully they make the right choice and pick the right FSA that fits Coach Pido's system. I was hoping for a Pido Jarencho surprise during Season 86. But unfortunately, the times have really changed. Old coaches have really struggled to make a mark in the UAAP. I hope that they join more tournaments this offseason. That's something they did not do, right? In Season 86. They maybe thought that that could have been an advantage, that surprise factor, but it did not bode really well because most of their players did not know how to really acclimate themselves in the UAAP culture. I think SJ Moore was really hit the most with this strategy. I'm hoping that he has a better Season 87. He was one of the top recruits come Season 86, but developments on the UST Growling Tigers so welcome side. You really have to see UST and FEU. Also, FEU be one of the top teams. If you're a UAAP history buff, if you look at the UAAP history, these two teams have consistently been one part of the top teams in the UAAP. And it's a welcome sight when you hear news. We always talk about parity when it comes to the UAAP. And when teams like UST start to ramp up, that's a welcome sight. Anytime there's better competition, there's a lot more talent across the league, then all of the fans, including myself, will definitely be happier to watch the UAAP continue to grow.
I agree. I think the UAAP is a better league when UST is contending and when UST is a legit Final Four team, which I think will be the case Season 87. I'm not sure if I'm ready to call them a championship contender yet. I think it's too early to say that. But Final Four contender, absolutely. I think right now they're in the same level as Ateneo and NU. Maybe even surpassing NU because NU lost Key and Baklaan. Yeah. And who knows about NU's foreign student athlete position. I think that's not certain yet as of now as well. With UST, I like the Osang fit for them. I think whether or not they're able to recruit another big like Mahmood will determine whether they go with Osang or Tongkara. Because if they don't have another reliable big, then you kind of have to lean more towards Tongkara because of his size. And, you know, last year, like Maui, it would have probably been a better performance in Season 86 for UST Adami Faye been healthy, had they had a foreign student athlete, because they were really lacking that interior presence for a lot of games. Now, it's so interesting you say FEU, and I want to be careful with what I say here, so I'm going to choose my words wisely. There might be a chance that FEU is also interested in Zain Mahmoud. Might be, huh? Might be. I say might because what I'm hearing at least is there is a possibility or a chance that FEU adds a member to its coaching staff. And that member is Sean Chambers, who many of you might know as the great import of the Alaska Aces back in the day, particularly when they won a Grand Slam in 1996. Now, does that mean Sean becomes the new head coach of FEU? I don't know. What I know is Coach Denok has coached FEU only for one season so far, would be part of the coaching staff to some capacity, or not what I know, what I assume based on what people have told me. That if Sean comes in, maybe he's like a consultant or maybe he becomes the coach, but Coach Denok will still be there with the staff. Again, everything is like...
fluid, right?
Yeah, exactly. Fluid. Nothing confirmed, nothing final. Thank you. So let's see how that develops. But yes, I know FU fans have been waiting for years for, you know, like a jolt, like a spark, you know, something to kind of announce that they're back in the championship picture, because they haven't won a championship since 2015, and the last time they won a championship before 2015 was 2005, and it's 2024. I don't think they want to wait another 10 years or more to like be a contender at least, right? So let's see. And one more thing I'm hearing now, again, this might be people just estimating, guessing stuff, but what someone told me was, if FEU manages to bring in Sean Chambers as head coach, then maybe there's an outside shot that they can get Mr. Oiteng Su, the owner of Alaska, former owner of the Alaska Aces in the PBA, to possibly come in and help FEU. But again, the person who told me that was just estimating, nothing certain. But theoretically, let's just say theoretically, right? That works out. By the way, Sean Chambers has a lot of connections to possible standouts and players in the United States. So if he does become part of FEU staff, there's a good chance he brings in some of these Phil foreign recruits who could help the team. If that does happen, it might also convince some of the talented local players of FEU to stay. Those who, like, you know, Cyrus Torres has already announced that he's leaving the Tamaraws. So some of the other guys there, like, who maybe are, you know, not certain yet if they want to move on to the next stage of their careers or stay in college, that might help them decide, okay, let's give this a shot. We have this, you know, new presence in the coaching staff coming in. I think that would make the UAAP more exciting, because if FEU becomes a legit team as well, then that's exciting for the league. That's exciting for everyone, diba?
Yeah, it will be similar to the early 2000s. I don't know now if you started watching during the early 2000s. Most of the teams were really relevant during that time.
Yes.
I think
Leo Avenido, diba?
Leo Avenido was playing there. Even teams like NU, FEU, UE, everyone, UST, the league was very stacked across the board on all teams. If this rumor is true, then FEU finally gets a backing outside from the Montinolas. I think it's going to be good for the UAAP. I think the recruiting process will also be a lot crazier. I think, Navs, you have to agree that the off-season during season 86 was probably one of the craziest you've seen during the past decade or so. And season 87 has just started. The off-season for season 87 has just started. And it's starting to really gain some momentum. And I expect this off-season to be crazy. Maybe this is another step in that direction if they get Sean Chambers. I think one of the main mistakes FPU did when Olsen Asela left was really hiring internally, because initially it was good because it was Denok Miranda, a legend from FEU. But unfortunately, since Denok Miranda was also the assistant coach of Coach Olsen, they ran mostly the same place during season 86. And
yes,
if I were a prospect and I've seen that there have been no changes, then maybe it's to their disadvantage that they even got Coach Denok as their head coach. Getting a head coach or even a consultant in the caliber of Shawn Chambers, somebody whose name is etched in Philippine history, could probably really catapult FEU into becoming a contender for years to come. Even that rumor that Mr. Oritong Su is attached to Shawn Chambers is crazy to begin with, but it can really catapult FEU. And much like what we said with UST, if FEU also starts to contend, then it's gonna be a crazy league. It's gonna be more excitement for everyone, diba?
Yeah.
I'm sure that UST and FEU fans have been longing to be contenders, diba? For especially those that are already old.
No, for sure, because it would be nice to have a season where when you look at the top of the standing, it's not just, okay, La Salle 11-3, UP 12-2, NU 10-4, Ateneo 11-3 or 10-4. Maybe if we balance it out, like the top of the standings is like number one is 9-5 or 8-6. Okay, maybe not 8-6.
It used to be like that.
Exactly. Because then
10 wins or 9 wins maximum.
Exactly, because then the games at the end of the elimination round still matter. Like a random game between, like, let's say, non-Final Four contenders, you know, that which has been the case the last few seasons towards the end. It's like, sige, maybe we don't need to watch that na because, you know, there's no bearing naman talaga in the standings for placing na lang yan eh. But then if there are teams trying to make the Final Four until like the last few days of the elimination round, and that's multiple teams, that's so exciting for the league. And that kind of parity would make the league, as exciting as it already is, even more exciting.
Yeah.
And personally, I want to see FE make this move again. I'm not reporting it as confirmed. It's just what I've heard. But I would love to see them make that move because it would give a program that, like you said, is proud. I believe they have, what, maybe the most championships in UAAP men's basketball even. Them being back as contenders would be great for their fan base because they have a huge fan base, and also great for the league. Speaking of FEU2, I should report that their FSA moving forward will be, it won't be Mohamed Fati anymore. It's going to be Mo Konate, who actually played for them in Pinoy Liga last year and has 5 years of eligibility beginning season 87. So that's exciting for FEU. I know many fans weren't so thrilled with Mo Fati's performance in season 86. So maybe Konate, he's still young, he's still developing. But even, you know, we've seen in the past, even guys like Momoway, who comes in like 18 years old first year, can make an impact right away. There will be growing pains, as there always is. But again, if FEU does this, it would be exciting because you look at the rest of the league now. LaSalle is LaSalle. UP is UP. Ateneo got Jared Bahay. UST is coming in as probably the ultimate dark horse team of season 87. NU, I do wonder what's going to happen to NU, because they lost Baclaan, but then that would open up the door potentially for Reynard Yumamoy to become the player that many know he's going to be, because he is one heck of a player.
Very exciting.
Very, very exciting. Very, very talented. We saw it in that second round game against Ateneo last season, right? What kind of potential that he has. And then Adamson with their new recruits, the twins. So if FU can add that mix. And UE, by the way, has another Cruz Dumont brother coming in season 87, assuming he recovers in time from his surgery. It's exciting. I think at in that regard, then the league would be filled with talent. And every season, when you consider the FSAs the teams are recruiting, when you consider the local talent all over the Philippines the teams are recruiting, when you consider the Phil foreigners that teams are recruiting, I think overall the talent in the UAAP now more than ever is at an all-time high.
I would have to agree on that. I think I've been hearing also around that the talent pool in the UAAP is undeniably the best it has been since time immemorial. I think the influx of foreign student athletes definitely have helped. The development also of the foreign student athletes starting from Ben Embala have really paved the way for better FSAs. And because there are better FSAs, players have had to rise. Some of the players that could have played center are now playing power forward or even small forward. We are seeing players like Kevin Kiambao who transitioned from center to becoming a wing player. It's unprecedented and it's very good for the league. The only thing that really bothers me right now is parity. If that's something that the UAAP can achieve, then maybe we can have an even more exciting league, as you mentioned. Definitely welcome sight that other teams are stepping up their game. I expect UST to take the leap next year. Then maybe FEU can also take the leap in a year or two. Hopefully we also see UE continue to rise. They've been one of the most exciting teams, in my opinion, the past two seasons. I wouldn't be surprised if Rumogat leaves and there's another random player who pops off in UE, because that's been the case the past two seasons. I would have to agree, Navs. Definitely, we have a very exciting league with more to come. The off seasons are a big barometer to what to expect for the season. And I think us having those crazy off seasons really jumpstart what to expect for season 87.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that we had this conversation, Maui. It was nice to finally collaborate with you. Looking forward to eventually speaking with the Boleros team. But why don't you tell the listeners of my podcast where they can find your podcast to hear more about the episodes that you all have coming up?
Thanks, Nabs. Actually, you can check out Boleros PH. We're available on YouTube and Spotify. Much like Nabs, we mostly cover the UAAP. We talked about, we even have topics during the off season, and we're just passionate fans wanting to showcase also to other passionate fans. We welcome you in our channel. We love the engagement we get on the comics section. We want people to debate on different matters, not just what happens on the court, but also on different matters regarding UAAP basketball. I think it's fair to say that most of us just want to have the best possible league here in the Philippines. I would easily say that the UAAP is the premier basketball league here in the Philippines, and that's something we want to stay. Hopefully you also subscribe to our channel. Thank you, Nabs, for giving me the opportunity to be a guest on your podcast and for giving me the chance to talk about our channel.
My pleasure. I wish more power to you and the rest of the team. I'm sure that as the years go by, seasons go by, you guys will only continue to get better. And you guys are welcome to come on the Nabs Effect anytime.
Thank you.
Maui, thank you for your time. And
thank you. We appreciate it.
Happy weekend, bro. And happy weekend to all the listeners as well.